From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Chief Justice William Rehnquist returned to the bench today for the first time since October, when he announced that he had thyroid cancer. NPR's Nina Totenberg was at the Supreme Court and has this report.
Although Rehnquist has been working both at home and at the court since December, writing opinions and presiding over the justices' weekly conferences, he's not been seen in public since the inauguration in January. Then, cane in hand, he administered the oath of office to President Bush. Today, he still looked a bit thin, and his voice was soft and breathy because he's still wearing a tracheotomy tube to facilitate his breathing. Nonetheless, he seemed to be very much himself. He asked more than a dozen questions of counsel in the two-hour argument session, making a wry joke at the expense of the Mormon Church at one point, and, as is his wont, he cut lawyers off mid-sentence when their time was up. Observers had wondered how Rehnquist would handle the secretions that build up in a tracheotomy tube. Last week, when he presided over the judicial conference behind closed doors, fellow judges said he wiped off secretions from time to time and stepped out occasionally to suction his tube. On the bench today, Rehnquist got up and disappeared behind the courtroom curtains twice, something he's done for years to stretch his ailing back. Today he presumably used the time to clear the tracheotomy tube as well. The Chief Justice was not using a cane and seemed to move easily for an 80-year-old with a bad knee. Still, as he left the bench at the end of today's session, Justice John Paul Stevens, 84, stood behind him, his hand outstretched in case the Chief needed any help navigating the steps off the bench. Rehnquist walked quickly down without assistance. The first case the justices heard this morning involved an American tragedy that made headlines.
I got an update. Possibly three dead children inside of the vehicle.
Jessica Gonzalez, the mother of those three dead children, ages 7, 8, and 10, is suing the Castle Rock, Colorado Police Department, claiming that the police ignored her pleas to enforce a restraining order against her estranged husband, Simon. She obtained the restraining order after Simon tried to hang himself in front of the children. The restraining order instructed police to arrest Simon if he came within 100 yards of the family home or had contact with the children except at specified times. 3 weeks after Jessica obtained the court order, she called police to say that the children were missing. Though she initially said she did not think her husband would harm the children, she grew alarmed as the night wore on. 6 times she called or met with police, and each time was told to wait another 2 hours to see if her husband returned the children. At 3 a.m., Simon showed up at the police station with a gun, began firing at police, and was shot dead. Inside his truck, police found the bloody bodies of the little girls murdered by their father an hour or two earlier. In the Supreme Court today, lawyers representing the Castle Rock Police Department and the Bush administration told the justices that the Colorado statute on restraining orders, while making the enforcement mandatory, still leaves police departments with considerable discretion. Justice Ginsburg, does it give them discretion to do nothing? Justice O'Connor, does Colorado law provide any remedy for Mrs. Gonzalez? Answer, she can seek a contempt of court citation against the police if she can show that they willfully and wantonly ignored the court order. Justice Ginsburg, so she can ask the police to enforce the order, but the police are not obliged to respond. Answer, that's correct. Justice Kennedy, is there any case where the police have a duty to intervene? Answer, only if the state itself has created the risk. For example, if the police handcuff someone in a prison cell with another prisoner who they know intends the first prisoner harm. Representing Jessica Gonzalez, lawyer Brian Reichel told the justices that under the police department's view of the law, a public high school student facing suspension has more legal rights than a woman trying to enforce a restraining order against her estranged husband. At the very least, he said, Jessica Gonzalez was entitled to a reasonable assessment of the situation and a statement of what the police were going to do or not do and why. Justice Breyer, on your view of the facts, what happened is outrageous. But the problem isn't that the police failed to hear her. The problem is they ignored her. Isn't what you're asking for a misfit between the remedy and the harm? Answer, this is a lawsuit about the Castle Rock Police Department's pattern of ignoring these kinds of complaints. Justice Souter, but on your theory, the only thing she didn't get was a statement from them about why they were ignoring her. Answer, the crux of our complaint is that they strung her along, and a restraining order is meaningless unless it's enforced. Justice O'Connor, but what you're asking for is so new, it would be a major step. And indeed, Today, by the end of the argument, it seemed that while Jessica Gonzalez may have won the public relations battle against the Castle Rock Police Department, she is unlikely to prevail in the United States Supreme Court. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.